When we come to the gospel today, we can imagine that we know this story so well, this scene of the storm on the lake, Jesus walking on the water, and then Peter getting out of the boat and walking, taking his eyes off Jesus and beginning to sink. It's become a bit of a trope, a meme, an example within general culture of the miraculous, the powerful. In the Netflix series, The Messiah, there is this scene where the Messiah proves who he is, that he is the returned by walking on the water in Washington. But I think if we look at the gospel more carefully, more closely, we can begin to see that there's in fact so many more things happening here than a simple miracle story. Matthew's gospel is rich and complex. We're here in the very center of it. And the gospel, we're told, follows directly on from last Sunday's gospel of the feeding of the multitude, the first of two of these stories of the feeding of the crowds. This one of the Jewish crowd. The next one at the end of chapter 15 will be the feeding of a Gentile crowd. Here, Jesus dismisses the disciples. He sends them away. There's a very clear sense that he wants to be alone in this moment. Remember, his cousin John had died. Everything is coming to a head. There's beginning to be this dissension among the leaders in Jerusalem against him. And so he knows he needs this space to grieve, to mourn, to pray. And so he sends the first of the disciples and then dismisses the crowd. And then ascends, of course, up a high place, a mountain, just as we saw Elijah in our first reading going to this high place to be with God, to encounter God as God walks in front of him, not in the mighty signs, not in these powerful deeds, not in the fire or the storm, but in the gentleness, the silence of nothing, the emptiness. It's the first time, in fact, that Jesus is apart from the disciples. It's the first time also that we hear that Jesus goes to pray. So it's a significant moment in the Gospel of Matthew, here again in the center, when we encounter this. We're told that it was in the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., when the disciples had been struggling for perhaps 8 or 9 hours already, battling against these strong winds and waves, to be overcome by them. And then Jesus comes. He comes walking first in this mistiness, this sense of who, what is that? Who is that? Is that Jesus as he comes? Is it a ghost? That's the question. Is it a phantom, a phantasm? And then he appears. And then Jesus addresses them. Take heart. It's here that Matthew adds this additional detail. It's only found in this gospel. But this particular scene of the encounter with Peter is uniquely told here in all of Matthew. Peter addresses Jesus. He says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." It's an interesting question. Peter doesn't make a declaration of trust, of faith. It's a question of doubt, a question almost of temptation. When Jesus says, "It is I, ego eimi," Peter cannot address that. He cannot meet Jesus in that sacred moment of the declaration that Jesus is the I am, is equivalent to the God revealed in Exodus 3, Yahweh. "Lord, if it is you." We've heard this language before, not by a human speaker, but by Satan in the temptation in the wilderness, which we always hear on the first Sunday of Lent. Satan addresses the exact same question to Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, then say to these rocks, throw yourself off the precipice of the temple. If you are the Son of God." And Peter says, "Lord, if it is you." Now Jesus, it's true, does say to Peter, "Come." He provides an invitation. But is it a willing invitation? That, in fact, we can be very certain that it's not. So Peter gets out of the boat, begins to walk on the water. And remember the power of that scene, the power of God walking on the water. The Jews, as most people in the ancient Near East, hated water. They were afraid of water. It was a source of confusion, of chaos, of disorder. The opening scene in the Genesis 1, the first story of creation, is of God bringing order out of the tohu vabohu, the chaos of the churned up waters. And so Jesus here addressing, walking on the water, is a demonstration not of overcoming gravity, but of being the God who is able to overcome the chaos. And so when Peter is there walking on the water, standing above the wind and the waves, he's overcome by that reality, takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. And Jesus reaches down, picks him up, drags him back onto the boat. And it's there in the boat. We get this other scene of the disciples falling down in worship, declaring that Jesus is truly the Son of God, Now, this is where the question of Jesus to Peter is interesting. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, the question there that Jesus says to Peter, he uses the word distazo, and that word is only used twice in the Gospel of Matthew here and at the very end of Matthew's Gospel in Matthew 28, verse 17, just before we hear the Great Commission. Remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's framed around this promise of who Jesus will be. He will be the one who is with his church, with his people, in the midst of all of the suffering, in the midst of all of the chaos, in the midst of all the change that they're experiencing, particularly as they suffer after the destruction of Jerusalem and the first Jewish wars of 66 to 70 AD. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. We're told that at the very beginning of the gospel. We're told that at the very end in the Great Commission, when Jesus declares to the disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands that I gave you, and know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of the world. This is the promise that Jesus makes, that he will be with them. He will be present to them as Emmanuel, the God with them. And yet, and he sends them away. When he sends them across this choppy sea and waters, Peter feels alone. He feels that God in Jesus has abandoned them. And yet, this question that Jesus puts to Peter is, why do you have such little faith? Why did you doubt? Justice before the resurrection appearance of Matthew 28, we're told that as Jesus appears on the mountain in Galilee again, some worshipped, but some hesitated, some doubted, some distazo. So it seems to me that Jesus is critical of Peter, that Peter got out of the boat at all. He's critical that Peter abandoned the community. It's the church that Jesus promises to us will be with us always. He will be with the community, not as individuals, but gathered as a community of God's people. That is how Jesus will be present. That is how he will be Emmanuel. He will come among us. He never promised that the wind and the waves wouldn't overwhelm us. He never promised that there wouldn't be stormy seas. He never promised that there would be times and opportunities when we would doubt his presence. But he did promise that he would be with us. He did promise that if we stayed together in the boat of that community, if we stayed as his church, stayed as his people, he would be with us. Today, the invitation is not to get out of the boat, not to attempt to walk on the water, but to stay with him, to be his people together, to remain faithful to the God who calls us and will be with us always, even to the end of the world.